The prophet says, burst into songs of joy together, for the Lord has comforted his people. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God, because the Lord has laid bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations. Dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon today is going to be based on that story of Simeon that we heard just a moment ago from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read it again. As I do, I want you to look for all the references to seeing. Eyeballs or light or vision. All the references to seeing in this chapter. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." The word of God. You know, sometimes seeing something tells you more about the person who's seeing than it does about the thing you're looking at. I'm thinking this is true in the psychiatric inkblot tests, like that one. What do you see? Some people see a human face. Other people see like two woodland creatures playing patty cake. I could see that, maybe. And allegedly, I've never done this, but apparently a trained professional could tell you something about yourself based on what you see. The picture doesn't change, but you can tell something about the person by what they see in that picture. Of course, this happens outside of the doctor's office too, right? This picture here is just a cloud, and if you've ever laid and looked up at clouds, you can see different shapes. What do you see? If there's any puppy dog lovers here, maybe you see a dog facing to the left. But I have my mind on a vacation, so I see a cruise ship sailing to the right. Depends on what you're thinking about, right? Let's do one more. What do you see here? Of course, that is the baby Jesus. The day he's 40 days old. 40 days old, the day he went to the temple for the first time. And as he's being carried into the temple, there's hundreds of eyes in there, hundreds of people who could see him, and everybody could see the tiny fingernails, the squishy cheeks, the little toes if they happened to be unwrapped that day. Everybody could see that. It was a baby. But Simeon saw more. And our goal today, as we focus on what Simeon said and what he did that day, our goal is to see what Simeon saw in Jesus. More than a baby, we want to see what Simeon saw. I've always been a big fan of Simeon because of this very reason. I've always loved him ever since I was, you know, first heard the story, and there's not that much we actually know about Simeon from the Bible. There are basically these two paragraphs that tell us everything about this Simeon, and here's what we know. It doesn't say he was old. Pretty much every picture you can find in Google Image of Simeon from the Bible says he's old, but it doesn't say that. It says this: he was righteous and devout, which in our words just means he was a stand-up guy. He always did the right thing. Then it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, you know that word, right? It just means to make somebody feel better. You're going to console them. And that's exactly what Israel, the nation, needed. Maybe you're using your Bible history knowledge to remember a lot of bad stuff happened in Israel right before this day. 600 years of bad stuff. Israel got passed around from one invading nation to another. First Assyria took them over, then Babylon, then the Greeks, then the Romans, and it was always bloody. But God had made a promise, I'm going to comfort my people. I'm going to console these bruised and battered people. And Simeon is waiting for that. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. One more. The Holy Spirit was on him. It seems as though Simeon had a very special relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on him, and then it actually goes on to say it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. So he has some special knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And those things are amazing truths about Simeon, but that's not why he's always been one of my favorites. The reason I love Simeon is because of what Simeon saw when he looked at Jesus. What Simeon saw when he looked at Jesus, you can tell from his song. It's a song that we sometimes sing in worship. When we're singing in worship, we after the Lord's Supper, we'll sing sometimes this song of Simeon. And it's not, I saw a little baby, he was very cute. No. You know the song of Simeon, right? Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Realize what Simeon saw when he looked at that baby? Peace. He said, I could go home to heaven right now and I'd be happy. I could fall asleep in peace tonight, because Simeon found in a baby, of all things, the consolation of Israel. How would Israel be delivered from all their troubles? Not with a fleet of new tanks to drive out the Romans. Not with a mighty warrior king who would come and cast out all the political enemies. No. A baby. This is the peace I've been waiting for, Simeon says. And I can die in peace now. Pretty amazing. It took the disciples a long time to figure that out, but Simeon saw it right from the very start. It's not all he saw. He goes on, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. He looked at Jesus and he saw salvation, which is a lot more than just a baby, isn't it? He saw salvation. Now, I don't know how many details Simeon understood when Jesus was just 40 days old. I don't know. Did he know that Jesus' hands would perform miracles and heal people and bring people back from the dead? I don't know. Did he know that Jesus would have to be crucified on a cross to take away the sins of the world? I don't know. Did he know that Jesus would be in the grave for 3 days, exactly 3 days, and then rise again? We don't know how many details Simeon knew, but this much he did know. He was in trouble. And we are in trouble. And everybody who lives in this sinful world is in deep trouble. And we need somebody to save us, somebody to deliver us. And however it was going to work out, no matter what the details were, Simeon knew this baby Jesus, he would be the one to do the saving. Simeon was well aware that the mess that we see when we look around the world, we bear collective responsibility for this mess. We brought sin into this world. And he was well aware that each and every one of us, in our own personal lives, we have things to be ashamed of. We have our little contributions to the pain and the suffering of the people who love us. And he felt shame about that. I know that because he was a sinner who trusted in Jesus. Like you're a sinner who trusts in Jesus. And so we got together this morning to confess our sins. We said, I am by nature sinful. I have sinned in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions. And God, in his mercy, has revealed to us a Savior. Simeon could look at Jesus and say, this is salvation. And finally, the last thing Simeon saw when he looked at baby Jesus, he saw his peace, he saw salvation, and he saw this salvation. a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. That's an amazing image. It's an image that says Jesus is like a lighthouse. In Jerusalem, right, is the baby Jesus in the temple, and it's like he is shining light all over the world, a light to enlighten the Gentiles. Enlighten just means that you are now in the light. You used to be in the dark, but now you're in the light, and that's exactly what Jesus would do. People in faraway nations, they didn't have any trouble with the sunshine, right? They didn't have any trouble with their eyes working. Their darkness was the darkness of unbelief. How many of you have ancestors from darkened countries? I do, if you go back far enough. My people are from northern Germany, northwestern Germany, and if you go back far enough, I don't know these people's names, but if you go back a couple thousand years, I had ancestors that would chop down a tree, burn one half of it, and worship the other half. That doesn't make any sense at all. You are destroying the one part of the tree, and you're giving all your praise and adoration, and you're pinning your hopes on survival on something that you just cut down, that you just killed. That's darkness. That's spiritual darkness that has no hope. That's what Isaiah was talking about when he said this. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood and pray to gods, here's the important part, that cannot save. A tree will never save you. A statue of Buddha will never save you. Saying prayers enough times each day will never save you. Your own works, your own self-righteousness will never save you. We have millions of idols around our world, and none of them will ever save us. Which is why Jesus needed to shine his light into dark nations. And that's what happened in northern Germany a couple thousand years ago. I don't know the guy's name, but somebody came along and told my ancestors about Jesus, and it changed my family's history forever. It changed my life forever. That Jesus enlightened nations. And then, when nations around the world all see the truth, the salvation that Jesus offers, everybody turns their attention back towards Jerusalem. He says, not just a light to lighten the Gentiles, but also the glory of my people Israel. And people love Jerusalem. People love going there. People make pilgrimages there. Not because people in Jerusalem are better than other people. And not because that nation of Israel had been more faithful than all the other nations. Now, if you read the Old Testament, there's plenty of shameful stories in there. The reason Israel is glorious, the reason people turn their attention towards that city, is because Jesus is there. Because that's where Jesus came from. And Jesus is the glory of everyone who knows him. That's what Simeon saw. He saw his peace, he saw salvation, he saw Jesus is the light that enlightens Gentiles and is the most glorious thing about every Christian life. But not everybody saw that. Everybody could look around and maybe they're peeking over Mary's arm and they're seeing the baby there, but so many people didn't see what Simeon saw. That's because Jesus looked pretty ordinary. Maybe there's artistic depictions of Jesus where he's glowing or he's got a halo or something, but there's no evidence in the Bible that Jesus was extraordinary, at least not to the first glance. In fact, the Bible even says that. The last verse of our reading before said that Jesus grew and became strong like a normal boy. He was filled with wisdom like a normal boy, and the grace of God was on him. There was nothing extraordinary about the baby, nothing extraordinary to the look of the child. And even when Jesus grew up, one time Jesus grew up, he was 30 years old, maybe a little older. He travels back to his hometown, Nazareth. He gets up in front of the synagogue where, like this, people are gathered to hear him preach. And you know what they said? They didn't say, why is he glowing? They didn't say, oh, this is the most glorious thing that's ever come out of Israel. You know what they said? Isn't that Joseph's son? He was just one of the guys from hometown. He looked so ordinary, which is why many people didn't see what Simeon saw. It's why many people didn't trust in him, and that's exactly what Simeon predicted. Simeon predicted that people would miss the point. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be praised? No, a sign that will be spoken against. How could Jesus be spoken against? How could Jesus cause someone to fall? Well, that's exactly what happens if you see him, but you don't trust him. Like what King Herod did. Remember, wicked King Herod, he was the ruler of Jerusalem at the time Jesus was born. He saw Jesus, but he didn't see him as the Savior. He saw him as a threat to the throne. So what did he do? He murdered all the two-year-olds in Bethlehem. That's darkness, and that is falling because you don't see Jesus for who he really is. It's also what happened in Nazareth. After Jesus preached that sermon and people said, isn't that Joseph's son? They wanted him to do some miracles, but you know what? He was just too ordinary for them. No doubt he could have done miracles, but he didn't in that city, and so they tried to throw him off a cliff. They saw Jesus, but they didn't see what Simeon saw. And finally, that's the way a lot of people react to the cross. This idea that Jesus died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. You and I maybe wear a cross. Well, I'm wearing a cross necklace, right? Because I love what Jesus did on the cross for me. But for many people, they stumble over the cross. St. Paul says some people think it's foolish what happened on the cross. Even today, a couple decades ago, as a comedian, Lenny Bruce, who said, if Jesus was alive 20 years ago, little Catholic children would be wearing electric chairs around their neck. How ridiculous. How ridiculous, some people think, that the Savior should be killed like a criminal. That's darkness. That's what happens when you see Jesus, but you don't see who he truly is. What other people saw was quite different from what Simeon saw, which is why Jesus is kind of like a modern-day inkblot test. Because we're all looking at the same stories. We're all looking at the same truths about Jesus. But as Simeon said, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed by this child. So what do you see? When you look at Jesus as an infant, when you look at Jesus on the cross, what do you see? Our goal is going to be to see what Simeon saw and not all that dark stuff that other people see. How? How do you ensure that that happens? Well, I tell you, if I was from the movie The Lion King, if I was Rafiki, the witch doctor monkey from that movie, do you know how I would encourage you to see what Simeon saw? Remember what he says as Simba's looking into the pool, but Simba's not really seeing reality for what it really is. You remember what Rafiki says? He says, look harder. That's kind of silly, isn't it? Think that if you could just put up a picture of Jesus, strain the muscles that surround your eyeballs, then you'll see Jesus for who he really is. No, that's ridiculous. That's why I'm not a witch doctor monkey, right? Because that's not how you see Jesus. But as ridiculous as that is, so many Christians want to just change one word and keep the same attitude. They want to say, faith harder. Strain your heart. Focus all your energy on being more trusting, and then you'll really trust in Jesus. Just work harder at being faithful, and you will really see Jesus for who he is. But that is every bit as backwards and ridiculous as saying we're going to look harder at Jesus. Do you know how you truly see what Simeon saw? God reveals it to you. That's exactly what God did for Simeon. That's what this day is all about. It's not about Simeon so wonderful and Anna is a great prophet. No, no, no. It's about God revealed Jesus to Simeon. And God reveals Jesus to foreign dark nations. And God reveals Jesus to you and me. And here's how he does it. He always does it the same way, so far as I can see in the Bible. He always works this way. An ordinary method plus an extraordinary miracle. Ordinary method plus extraordinary miracle. That's exactly what God did for Simeon. Simeon sees Jesus as this light for Gentile nations, this thing that blew the Apostle Paul's mind. How could he have this great insight? You know where Simeon found that? In a scroll. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah that somebody read to him when he went to church. Seems like a pretty ordinary method, and yet God also did a miraculous, an extraordinary miracle for Simeon when he revealed to him special truths. Now, your ordinary method and your extraordinary miracle probably look a little different from Simeon's, but that's still how God works. I bet you don't have a papyrus scroll in your house with half of the words of Isaiah written on it. If you do, I want to come over and see it, but I'll bet you do have a book. A book with a lot of prophecies about Jesus and a lot of the fulfillments written down in the New Testament. Or an app where you can access thousands of different translations from the Bible. Or BibleGateway.com. Ordinary methods. Stuff that any old person could find and read. But that's exactly what God says creates faith. He says, faith comes from straining your heart enough that... No. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard in the word about Christ. God uses very ordinary means, but then he does an extraordinary miracle. This is the miracle for your Christmas. You believe Jesus. And if that doesn't seem too miraculous, let's just remember what the Bible tells us about ourselves by nature. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. And you and I, at one point, when we were babies or before we knew Jesus, we were blind to him. Not we had a fuzzy picture of Jesus, not we could kind of make him out, but not really. We were blind to Jesus, couldn't see him at all. But God has opened blind people's eyes before, right? But it took a miracle. God has shined light into dark places before. Remember the first day of creation? He said, let there be light. But it took a miracle. And here's the miracle God has done for you. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. An extraordinary miracle happened when you put your trust in Jesus. God created faith. God revealed to you what Simeon saw. So, let's do a few more vision tests before we close. What do you see here? Some people see an old, irrelevant book that doesn't mean much to us today, but not you. Miracle of miracles, you see in the scriptures God's thoughts written down for you to know. What do you see? Many people see archaic ritual, some superstition. Other people maybe see something that a baby does for God to earn God's love. But because you know God's word, right? Jesus said, all who believe and are baptized will be saved. You see the washing away of sins. You see a miracle. What do you see? Some people see, this actually is true. I went to a church one time. I was just visiting, not worshiping with them, but visiting a church, and they said, it's snack time. Everybody go to the back and help yourself to the snacks. It's grape juice and crackers. That's what some people see in the Lord's Supper, but not you. Because of Jesus' very ordinary words, this is my body, this is my blood, you believe an extraordinary miracle, that his pledge of his forgiveness. If you ever doubt that he loves you, you can know he gave up his very body, he gave up his very blood, and it's for you to have. One more. What do you see here? For many people who lost loved ones in 2020, it's only bitterness and pain. And that is there. That is there for Christians, but you see more. You see what Simeon called departing in peace. The doorway to heaven, you see the miracle of God taking one of his saints home. There's a lot of Christmas miracles for us to ponder. There's the virgin birth, that God became man, but here's a Christmas miracle that breaks into your life today and every day. You believe in Jesus who came on Christmas. And it changes the way you see everything. By God's grace, by a miracle, you see what Simeon saw. Amen. Please stand.